You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспутам
субъекта
секса.
Мы говорим о
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to Intellectual Erection. I'm your host, Patrick, and today I'm speaking with Mimi, otherwise known as Ms. Storm.
I got pets, I got head rubs, and I got my belly scratched, which was really fun.
We talk about a lot of things in this episode, like identifying as a kitty in BDSM. We talk about sexual identity, we talk about kink, we talk about dancing and performance and burlesque, and a whole bunch of other things. And as always, listen, like, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with...
Mimi,
or Ms. Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell the audience what you do, or what you want to share about what you do?
Gosh, I do a lot. I have 6 jobs on the go right now. I guess that makes me a workaholic or
a millennial.
I guess so. Oh, yeah. God, I don't like that title. But yeah, I am a child and youth worker by day and a burlesque performer, samba dancer, showgirl, Vegas style performer. I also teach dance. I model, I act. I'm just trying to survive and have fun while doing it, I guess.
All the things, all the sort of kinesthetic arts,
yeah,
if you will, involving your body, performance.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which I've seen, but I know so little about you, so this is going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
But first, what always comes on Intellectual Erection is the origin question. Do you know it?
I heard it recently, but I can't remember.
Okay, so it's a two-parter.
Okay.
The first part is, I'm always interested, when you were a kid, if you remember the first time that you ever encountered sex or sexuality, either in media or in your personal life or whatever it was, I'm just curious about the first time that you ever saw anything or felt anything or understood something to be sex or sexuality, and what that experience was like for you. And then the second part of that question is how you ended up in the sex positive communities, but we'll talk about that after.
Okay, the first time, this is really funny. I think the first time I ever felt something from seeing something remotely sexual, I was very young, and I think I was watching like Star Wars or Star Trek, I don't even know, but it was a scene where two humans were kissing, and it was a passionate kiss, and I felt my clit for the first time in my life, and it was like this tingling sensation. I was like, what the fuck is that? And I didn't understand what was going on, but I was sitting on like the armchair of the sofa, and I just remember like wanting to move to like continue this little tingling sensation, but also my family was in the room, so that was the end of that little...
So you got a little clit alert when you saw that kiss.
I did.
Do you remember how old you were?
I think it was around, I'm going to go with 9.
Okay, so that's fairly early. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I guess it took some time from that first alert till you maybe discovered your body, discovered sexuality and all that.
Yeah, I mean, masturbation was something that was always... it was never a taboo in my house. Sexuality was never a taboo in my house. My mother... little Catholic old lady was very always open-minded. So from a very early age, we were taught, shown books of different body parts and just kind of taught that you are never to be ashamed of your body or what it does. And if you're ever going to have sex, you should have sex with yourself first so you know what you like and you know how you want to be treated before anyone else should touch you. So we were kind of like, pro, go touch yourself and like... in a non-creepy way, but just to be really shameless
Wow.
about everything.
That is a really nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people I've interviewed, unfortunately, grew up in that period where it was just all about guilt and shame and taboo. Yeah. And I mean, on the one hand, maybe it's turned a bunch of us into perverts. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, it's nice to hear that there are perverts out there who also had a very healthy relationship with sex and sexuality growing up.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you're a pervert.
I am.
But I think it's a safe assumption if you're here, which is great. It's really good to hear. And I think that part of doing this show and shows like this and spreading sex positivity is exactly to have that kind of emergent sex positivity in early education, in parenting, because you shouldn't have to be ashamed and you should be encouraged to explore your body and right. engage in sex safely and, you know, well-equipped with the right education behind it.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I'm really thankful for that, actually.
So then at what point did you get involved with the sex positive communities? And this is kind of an umbrella term that I throw out there to mm-hmm. cover kink, BDSM, polyamory, sex work. So I'm not sure exactly what facets you're involved in. I've seen the dancing and I've seen you in some fetish gear, and that's about the extent that I know. So you can take me by the hand through the la la land of Ms. Storm and you can tell me exactly kind of where you're involved and how you got involved.
I'm kind of a head first type of human where I say yes to whatever comes my way and figure it out as I go. It's been working out really well so far. But that's kind of how I got into it. I was, I think 19, working at the Everything to Do with Sex show as a model and, selling posters that I had taken, like calendar pictures of myself.
This was for a modeling thing that you did in a booth?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just there at the Everything to Do with Sex show for Oasis this year.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, you should have come out.
Yeah, hopefully next year.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was just walking around. It was during my break and being the curious little soul that I am, I was just walking around trying all these like little sex toys in these booths, and I came about a sex swing and I wanted to get on it. It just looked really fun. So I was in my 6-inch heels that had spikes on them and in this like bright pink corset and demonstrating. The woman that was in the booth decided to make me the model, and she took me through all these different positions you could have with this sex swing. And I looked up and I locked eyes with this beautiful man that had these piercing blue eyes, and as soon as I got off the sex swing, we started a conversation, and he held my gaze in a very powerful way, which I had never felt before. I had already recently come out as bisexual, which what I thought I was bisexual at the time. And so I kind of had to put an X on men and kind of was trying to focus on women. So it was a very peculiar way to meet what I didn't know was to become my first dom. And he took me out to dinner. We spoke about everything, and he told me about his partner and how he's a dom, and he explained to me what that is. I had no idea anything about BDSM or anything. And he kind of showed me the ropes and explained to me what this beautiful rainbow umbrella term was of BDSM and everything that falls under it. And shortly after that, I met his partner. I sat through a very intense training session that she's more of a slave, submissive. So I sat in and I watched him giving her very clear instructions. We had one day that we had like a heels appreciation night where he really wanted her to appreciate her wearing heels and the beauty of that and the definition that she has in her calf. So she had to stand on her tippy toes with a ping pong ball on the tip of her nose and hold it against the wall, and if she were to drop the ball, then there would be like lashes with a cane. It was just so beautiful for me to watch, and I was here like young 19-year-old, just oblivious and just so hungry for information, and it developed into us playing together, and I very quickly realized that I was a very kinky person, and that I was like, where has this been all my life? Like, I'm home.
So the first question I want to ask is, what attracted you to that, particularly to the power, to the dominance, to the, I'm picturing you watching this ping pong ball against the wall and just the level of, you know, intensity in that room. And I'm wondering, what are the feelings happening inside you at that moment? What's the attraction?
It may sound weird, I don't know, but it was just the comfort, the level of comfort and trust that these two humans had for each other, and the relationship that they had was so beautiful to me. So instead of seeing this shocking thing and her being beat and her loving it, but it was very, I mean, the tools he was using on her, oh my goodness. So instead of kind of seeing it and being shocked by it, I kind of saw through it and saw the beauty of the dynamic and the trusting and the boundaries being respected. And yeah, I was allured by the beauty of it.
I'm also hearing that kind of their level of passion and intimacy in that exchange is something that overlapped the superficial elements, maybe the hitting and the tension and the stress and whatever else is. Because I mean, the reason I'm thinking about it this way is I've seen people in spaces that have had the shock effect, or reaction rather. They've had the shock reaction, right? They see a scene and they interpret it as violence. They interpret it as unpleasant. They interpret it as, you know, whatever they see as at face value.
Yeah.
And they don't see maybe the relationship and the power dynamic and the exchange that's happening there and the trust, the bond, the love, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was a little bit curious about is where you were sitting there. So that in that moment, you're kind of interpreting all those layers.
I guess so.
At 19, and you're interested and curious. And the second thing I wanted to ask you about that is, after that experience, where did you identify yourself? So you said earlier on, you said you thought you were bisexual at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I thought of is that, has that changed? Is that something you still identify with? And whether you choose or would like to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And then where you identify in the BDSM communities?
That definitely has changed. I kind of came out right out of high school as bisexual because I had only had boyfriends up until then, and that was the norm. I didn't know that I had the option to be with women. So when I did, I was like, well, I guess I'm both. but the experience, like, I haven't really felt a sexual attraction for a man yet. So it's through relationships that I would have sex with my boyfriends, but it was never anything fulfilling, and it was always kind of forced on my behalf. That was just something that I needed to do because I was dating them. I guess I would identify as just, I'm in that gray area. To all the humans that ask me, I just say that I'm a lesbian because that is the easier, shorter answer. In reality, I think there's room for me to play and to adventure in this gray area that I feel like I'm really in. But yeah, I definitely feel more comfortable in a BDSM setting with men than in a romantic, like, out of the BDSM world. I guess that's because there are boundaries that need to be respected, and I know that, and it's kind of a home that feels safe to me. But yeah.
So I guess in that sense, that might be something like homo flexible.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Because hetero flexible, on the one hand, are people who are primarily heterosexual, but they might dabble here and there for whatever reasons, but there might not necessarily be a sexual attraction to the same sex. But I guess homo flexibility would be, you know, you're primarily interested in the same sex and attraction and all that there. But on occasion, you know, you dabble. Yeah.
Right.
You have experiences that you don't deny and potentially enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Minus the attraction.
Yeah. Not yet, anyways.
You're still waiting. Okay. And then the other part of that question was kind of, where do you identify now in the BDSM communities, in power exchanges and in all sorts of things? So there's a diverse array of labels and things. I know this can sometimes be either frustrating or they don't feel complete, or some people are really into the labels and they're like, I'm this and this and this and this.
Yes. There are so many labels.
What do you like?
I think I'm just a sub at heart. I feel very comfortable in that role. I'm a kitty as well. That's how I identify. I know there's so many different descriptions and definitions for that term, so I'm probably using it wrong, but to me that just means I love to be pet. I'm kind of hot and cold, and I'm very sassy, and I'm a bit of a brat. Mm-hmm. And I love to be put in my place. So I love pain. I love being dominated by men and women. I guess there's a little bit of a switch in me. I would absolutely love, and I am absolutely manifesting this right now, to have a sub that identifies as male. I would love to see how that makes me feel, and how to push boundaries in a healthy way.
I think there's a strong demand for that, and I've been hearing it in the community, so it's I guess it's a good sign. Mm-hmm. What makes that kitty purr?
A lot of things. I feel like the biggest reward that I could get is just to be told good girl with like a little like scratch or a pet or something. Makes me so happy. Adorable. But I love pain. And for me, BDSM is not, doesn't need to be sexual, and is often not at all. And I prefer it that way. Just give me pain. And then when I follow through with instructions, reward me.
See, for me, that's a question that's actually still on my mind, is whether or not BDSM can be removed from sexuality entirely, because I don't necessarily see a threshold that can demarcate the difference between a sexual versus a non-sexual BDSM session. And I only say this because I think there's something maybe intrinsically sexual about the power exchange, even if there's no sexual acts performed in the way that we normally identify sexual acts, mm-hmm. right? So as intercourse or outer course, even if those things are not there, I wonder if the power exchange of something like being hit by somebody under specific conditions, if the arousal factor that's in there, if the power exchange that's in there is not inherently sexual.
That's hard to say, because most of my play is non-sexual in the way that there's no sexual touching or arousing in any way physically. And I don't get aroused by anything that's done in those play or in those scenes. So that's hard to say.
So then for you, if it's not physical and it's not mental, what is the pain for?
I love it. I just like the sensation. I like different sensations, stinging, thudding. I just like pain. I like the way that it makes me feel. I like the headspace that I go into. It's a very calm and safe place. And I love pain.
For me, it's still an open question, because I just have been trying to deal with this idea for a while, is whether or not BDSM can be non-sexual. And I'm sure people have various experiences, and there's going to be a camp that says yes and a camp that says no.
Yes.
For me, it's just I have specific ideas about kind of intentionality. So if one person's intentionality is sexual, does that change the dynamic 100%. At all, right?
And it ruins, like, for me personally, yeah. Like, I had a dom a few years ago where he was so knowledgeable in his tying skills, and that was my first, like, full suspension. He was such a beautiful human in my life, and we had spent hours communicating and picking apart the reasons why I don't want BDSM or our scenes to be sexual in any way. And we had an understanding, so our scenes were just platonic, and it was just pain and reward, and I felt so fulfilled. I really genuinely don't feel like I need anything sexual after that, or I wouldn't want it, because I categorize it as separate in my brain. So it would almost feel almost overwhelming to add a sexual component to me. Unfortunately, as we progress into our relationship and our dynamic, he did start feeling these sexual urges, which obviously he communicated, and just me knowing that he wanted to do something sexual to me kind of made me feel uneasy a little bit. So that had to end. But yeah, I'm kind of trying to figure that out as well, where I do want to try to bring sex into BDSM play, and I have, but I definitely feel like they are separated in my brain.
Right. I'm not asking these questions because I have a particular need to convince you. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So no. Yeah.
So my only thing is that I'm suspicious when people say that they do things in BDSM without the sexual component. I understand from your perspective, and I believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'm more suspicious of maybe men, because in that power exchange, especially as a top or as a dominant, I have a hard time believing in a performative aspect that doesn't involve at least some sort of sexual desire, some mm-hmm. sexual arousal, right? But that might just be me. Maybe. That might just be me. And I've yet to fully engage this conversation with, I guess, a male-identified top mm-hmm. dom who can convince me that...
But most people feel the way that you feel. Like, I've had numerous conversations, and I've met, I think, like, one human that feels the way that I feel. So definitely it's not a common thing. So, and I might be subconsciously being, you know... turned on in some way that I'm just not aware of too. So I don't know.
I guess a prime example that would contradict my sort of suspicion about this would be somebody who also identifies as asexual. If you have an asexual male identified top, I suppose that they could, or dom, they could engage in that in that same way. And it's based off my experience in this world, mm-hmm. right? I've seen the way that rope tying is done. It's a very central practice. And there's a lot of talk about the way to, like, move your arms around somebody's body, how to, like, make the rope feel against their skin. So it's inherently supposed to stimulate. It's supposed to arouse. It's supposed to be, to some degree, sexual. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to pain, a lot of the theorizing on sadomasochism is based on the association of pain and pleasure. Now, whether that's inherently a sexual pleasure or a different kind of pleasure, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert, but I'm glad that I have you here to talk about this, because it's rare to meet somebody who has such a divide between the sexual and the practice itself.
Right.
So hopefully I can get more voices on the podcast from people who are willing to convince me that,
you know, I would love to meet them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll send them your way.
Yes,
I'm open to this being a possibility, and I acknowledge, like I said, that, you know, people who identify as asexual and are also part of the BDSM world probably are very much on the camp of, you know, being able to divide those practices.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I want some people to convince me, especially male tops, doms.
Well, come out wherever you are.
Yeah, get out of here. And don't be sneaky about it. Don't be lying. Okay. So the next thing that I want to ask you, your everyday work life, your BDSM life, your what we've yet to talk about, namely your dancing, kink fetish life, and then your sex life, are they all compartmentalized separately.
Absolutely.
So you live each one independently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how does that feel? Do you enjoy having these different outlets and exploring them separately, having privacy within each of these worlds? Do you wish there was more overlap, transparency? How do you feel about these things?
In a perfect world, I could merge everything and just be open about exactly who I am and what I like to do, and for that to be accepted in all of the fields that I work in. But that's unfortunately not the reality of the thing, you know, being a child and youth worker, I mean, it's not really, it's quite frowned upon. and so, yeah, I mean, I work as a receptionist. I have a few day jobs that, you know, I do a few times a week. And for me to even mention burlesque dancing, I get raised eyebrows and kind of, so it's, I do like the fact that I get to wear many hats and I can jump from one world to another. I find it fun and I like the lifestyle. At the same time, I feel like I'm getting tired of running around in these different worlds, and I would absolutely love for some of them to be able to merge. And I think I've started to try and do that, but it's very difficult because a lot of people aren't there yet.
Well, most of us do have at least one divide. Mm-hmm. Most of us have that, the muggle life, as people call it, or the vanilla life, or yep. The whatever it is up front where you go to work with your family in your regular social life.
Yeah.
And some of us are not very good at you know, at not being... to full disclosure and, you know, oversharing. But for the most part, we have to keep up a facade where we present as these non-sexual, appropriate, whatever it is, humans, which is fine because you don't need to really announce at work who you're fucking, how many people,
right.
What orgies you went to, how many whips were involved. Yeah. Being sex positive can also translate in different ways, I think, as long as you're encouraging of certain ideas, have, you know, some good politics on sex work and things like that. Mm-hmm. It could translate into that world. So most of us do have that one divide from, you know, the day stuff to the night stuff. That's why everything is after dark, right? Mm-hmm. Kink, after dark, this, after dark. So in the after dark portion of your life, we have a few things. You have your sexuality, which, as you mentioned, is probably somewhere maybe homoflexible. That's what I said, but
yeah,
that's my wording. and that's sex. And then you have BDSM, and that's where you're kind of submissive and you enjoy power dynamics in a platonic sense.
Yes.
And then there's the dancing.
Yep.
And the kink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only part of this that I've kind of seen.
Right.
So yeah. Montreal Fetish Weekend, you were there performing.
And I was.
You're quite good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
So let's talk a little bit about that. And then maybe we'll talk about how you want to integrate these portions of your life, if ever, if they need to be. Maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't.
Yeah. I'm not trying to push either way. So like, okay, just tell me. Just tell me about it.
Montreal Fetish Week was a lot of fun. I had the pleasure of walking in Maison Chardon's line. And...
Yes.
Yeah.
I've gone to the shows here.
She's
at Super
so
Wonder
amazing.
Gallery.
Yes. Yep.
Absolutely. And
they put on a show.
And a frequent model for that show is somebody who's been interviewed on this podcast, Remedy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Whom you know.
She's amazing. I
absolutely.
Love her.
Absolutely. Shout out to Remedy Moore.
Yes. yeah, it's kind of a full immersive experience where I get dressed up in her beautiful, like, latex decked out. I felt like there was so many jewels hanging off of me, and my whole face was covered in glitter. I was wearing my stripper heels and just feeling like I was on top of the world. The designer kind of gives me freedom, creative freedom to have a few moments to do whatever I'd like at the end of that runway. And I kind of become something.
Yeah.
And, It's such a gift to be able to do that in anywhere, in any context. So
you're a bit of a creature, some kind of voguing and contorting and things.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. And I don't even know what's coming out until I see the videos afterwards. Like, I think I black out and just become whatever that thing is.
Yeah, you go into the mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. So the part of fetish is mostly for you, I guess, a sort of fashion and performative aspect of your life. So it combines the dancing and the fashion.
Right. So the type of, I'm going to call it burlesque, I guess it's called neo-burlesque, but I've started performing, and it's really, I'm just moving to the music and the whatever I'm wearing. I love leather and metal. So whatever I'm wearing, I'm trying to see what that brings out of me, and through movement.
So does the movement and the dancing engage with your sexuality then? Is that a time that you maybe feel sexual at all?
I would say that I am more so allowing people to see how I feel. Like, I'm feeling sexual, or like, I feel sexy in that moment. So I'm allowing you to see that. But I'm not necessarily being turned on, or I'm not feeling sexual in that moment. I'm more so, here, I'm going to show you, look, pay mm-hmm. attention, I'm showing you what I want you to see now.
Yeah, you show them the intimacy and mm-hmm. the vulnerabilities, maybe the performance. Okay.
Yes.
Another thing that I like to ask is if you have any wild, interesting, sexy, fun stories. It's always a nice way to kind of...
any fun stories? I do. Just trying to see which one I would like to share.
Yeah.
I'm going to go by default the first threesome I ever had, because it is, up to date, the best sexual experience I've had with a man.
Because you didn't have to be with them there alone, right? I presume the third person in this was a woman?
Yes.
Yeah. The assistance was good. They're like, I can have a little bit of man as long as I get...
Right?
Yeah.
But this is actually my first dom, so the guy... From the sex swing.
The guy who could hold your gaze with the blue eyes.
So great. It was my first threesome, and we, after a long night of eating amazing pasta and talking about our boundaries and what we like, what we don't like, what makes us tick, he took us back to his place and started instructing his partner and I to start kissing, and things just... developed in such a fluid, organic way, and he used some toys, some vibrators, then he tied me up for the first time. That was actually my first time being tied up, and it was beautiful. There was edge play that I figured out I absolutely loved, and yeah, it was kind of a ping pong match between being instructed to perform these wonderful things to his partner and pleasing him a little bit. But because I was in a sub headspace, it was all just so very comfortable. And I think it took some of my triggers away. And I think it took some of my fears away as well. I haven't had the best past with men, and I think that I don't know, this opened a whole new world for me, and I trusted him completely, and it was just a beautiful night. At the end of the night, a lot of spanking, a lot of edge play later. He drew us a bubble bath and covered us in oil, and just took so much time and precision to make sure that all of our little wounds was tended to, and we ended up fucking in the bubble bath. It was wonderful. And yeah, we just fell asleep, one on each side of his chest, and I woke up just feeling so fulfilled. I was like, all right, 19, what's 20? what's year 20 going to be for me? I'm ready. Bring it on.
Well, here's a parallel. This is 2019. What's 2020 going
to
bring?
I'm so excited to find out.
So two things from that. One, what was the edge play? I'm super curious. if you care to share.
I do. My legs were actually tied together, so around my knees, so that I couldn't fully extend my legs. And he had put one of those wands, those white, like the very powerful
magic wand.
That one, yeah. And I was instructed for the first time to not come. So he hadn't warned me that this was going to be like an edge play session. I thought he was just going to please me with a vibrator. So I'm there and climbing this mountain of pleasure and about to come. And he, I think he saw it. He's like, don't come. And I was so confused. I was like, can someone tell me not to do that? What's going on? And it was just like the teasing of like almost being there, but not being able to release. And I was instructed to not bring my legs, to not close my knees together because the vibration was very intense. And that was actually my first time using a vibrator as well. So it's a lot of firsts in one night.
Okay, so this was edging.
Yes.
Okay.
What did I say?
Edge play. For disambiguation, edge play is different from edging. Edge play is the type of play that usually involves a lot of intensity and takes you to your physical or psychological limits, hence being on edge. And that can involve knife play, gun play, extreme forms of BDSM, whereas edging is building up towards orgasm and then denying the orgasm, usually repeatedly until you build up so much of that need to come, and then you're finally, perhaps, allowed to let go.
Yeah. So, I failed many times, which resulted I failed.
Well, when you're doing edging, I guess you're supposed to stop before you come and then hold and then restart, right? Because otherwise, how are you going to stop your orgasm? Takes a lot of training, I suppose.
I don't know what it takes, but I was definitely a failure that day. But I like the punishment. That was, I got a few lashes of bamboo in my inner thigh. So that was, I also quite enjoyed that.
Tasty.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to ask, and I don't know if you want to go into this, but you said you had some past experiences with men that were not pleasant. So I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that, but we don't
have to. Sure. Yeah, I don't mind. My two first sexual experiences with men were not consensual. So I'm definitely that, to tie it back to my sexual orientation, that's a question that I asked myself for a long time. And I was kind of trying to find an answer of, is that the reason why I'm attracted to women? And with time, I was just like, who the fuck cares?
Right. But that must be a difficult thing to go through, is try to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. One of them, unfortunately, was a family member. So that was just, and it was such a young age as well. So it brought up a lot. And it's a weird thing to say. I'm not glad it happened, but I don't. Obviously I wish it hadn't happened, but I have learned a lot from it and I have healed in a way that I feel has left me better prepared for what I have gone through and what I might go through in life. So
it sounds like you've done a lot of work that.
You have to. Yeah. Continuous work. Yeah.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's been interesting as well, going into the BDSM world and being, you almost have to be aware, like very self-aware of why you like pain, where it's coming from, what is it doing for you, are you using it for therapy, which in my opinion shouldn't be used for therapy, especially for traumas like that. So, but I have found a lot of therapeutic sessions in the BDSM world that have helped me find trust in men again, which I never was not the intention, but it was just kind of a really great bonus. So yeah, it's all kind of tied in there.
Yeah. So I think what I'm hearing is that not to use BDSM sessions as self-medicating for trauma.
Exactly.
But you can still have therapeutic BDSM sessions once you find kind of a healthy place to engage in that.
Yeah.
And not have it try to fill in a gap or a hole or something that's not being addressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a heavy note.
I know.
But I'm glad that you were willing to be open about that and share a very traumatic experience that you seem to have done a lot of work to get through.
I have, and it's there's nothing that we can't heal from, you know? You just have to be willing to dig deep and do the work and do the dirty work and stay in an uncomfortable place. But I'm so thankful for where I am now, and yeah, I'm happy.
Okay.
How to come back from this very heavy hole that we've
created. That's okay. We could stay here. We can peacefully stay here and just absorb that moment, because not everything has to end on a super light, fluffy note, which was the point of the fun sex story at the end of these things to begin with. Like, hey, so we talked about something. Yeah. Okay. And now we end off with where we're at. Well, what happens sometimes when you're recording and doing this kind of stuff is you forget to press record on the video, which is what I've been using for these episodes in the IGTV stories and in the posts on Instagram. And those are the sexy stories. So we missed it and we had to re-record an extra sexy story. So we're going to put it here. So you do get your fluffy, happy ending and a bonus sexy story. And by the way, a caveat, the reason I didn't really respond too much to Mimi's story or ask any follow-up questions about her trauma is because I'm not qualified to. And I don't want to pry into a person's personal experiences just for trauma porn. That's not what this show is about, and I'm not a therapist. So unless somebody is willing to divulge more and go into the depths of their experiences for the audience for some educational purpose, or they feel the need to, then I'm not going to go there just for the sake of hearing trauma. I hope you understand that, and now you can enjoy this light, sexy story with a few familiar characters. I'm just looking at my levels right now. Okay. Fun, sexy, interesting, cute, sexy, sex, BDSM, whatever it is. What's your story, Memes?
My most recent story, like interesting, fun, exciting story, would be in Montreal, actually, the week that I performed for the Montreal Fetish Week. I went with two friends of mine, and we had an outing.
And we know these friends.
We do.
We can shout them out. We got
Taylor.
They've both been on the podcast. So yes. Taylor Oakes, who's been on the podcast, and there's an episode of Taylor Oakes, and Yasmin Harris, who's also been on the podcast and is my partner. And you were with them in Montreal Fetish Weekend. Okay, so take me there. What's going on?
So we were getting ready for a night out. We kind of got like the VIP passes where we did all the events and tried to go to as many as we could. And there was a play party. Actually, I don't even know if it was a play party. It was like a club thing, but everyone was like decked out, mostly latex, which I then found out that it's a huge thing. Like latex is like huge. So yeah, we were getting ready and everyone was kind of asking everyone, what kind of headspace do you want to be in tonight? Taylor, more so than Yaz, but, I did tell Yaz that I am more on the sub side and I kind of had this kitty persona that I like to bring out sometimes. So we kind of decided, and I shared with them that I would absolutely love to be in kitty mode tonight and that would be great. But that I would love to just be mute. So Taylor actually had a muzzle from Northbound Leather, which I am absolutely in love with. So we kind of agreed that I was going to be in this mindset, and they kind of were going to be my doms for that night. And it was absolutely magical. I was on a leash that was rose gold, just fed my soul, wasn't able to communicate. And they just took turns giving me instructions and kind of leading me through the crowds, making me kneel while having conversations with others. And just kind of, it was honestly, it was a dream come true. Like, I absolutely loved that night. The dynamic throughout the three of us was just beautiful and organic. And I had a great time.
Did you get any nice scratches?
I did. I got pets. I got head rubs. And I got my belly scratched, which was really fun. Yaz was like giving me such great compliments, like good kitty, that just filled up my whole heart. And yeah, I got some beatings from both of them that night too, which made me so happy. It was just a great night.
Everything you love.
Yeah.
Fetish and beatings and scratches and pets.
Yeah.
Okay. And if anybody wants to see on, I think your profile, you posted something from Montreal Fetish Weekend. There's a few videos and photos with the three of you or the two of you and different sorts of spaces. They're really great pictures and people should check them out.
They should. Taylor did an amazing job. Oh my goodness. So yeah, you can check them out on my Instagram, which is _miss.storm.
Wonderful. This is the portion where you can plug away. Where can people find you if you want them to find you or your work or your performances or any of that?
Yeah, I have different types of performances, but we'll go with the kinky stuff. I post all of my upcoming performances when it comes to burlesque or anything creative like that on my Instagram. So it's _miss.storm. That's where you can find me.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Vous écoutez à Intellectual Erection, une place où on parle des choses sexy pour stimuler vos pensées.